It is 5 after. What do we got there?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have one too?
This is not.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt everybody.
No, no, go ahead.
I have another meeting next door.
That's what
I
Sasha was just
stop in and say hello to everybody. So thank you for the work you did.
Thank you.
We have someone here, so we're next door. So
okay.
Our
we are going to try to touch upon a couple things with you guys before the next, at the end of this meeting, if we have a minute, which
perfect,
we may.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Herbie?
Yep.
Meeting's in order. You want to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We're going to do roll call.
Sure. Legislator Maloney.
Here.
Legislator Hewitt.
Here.
Legislator Levine. Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Roberts.
I am here.
Former Legislator Petit.
Here.
And Legislator Stewart.
I'm here.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, so we're here today to talk about the sheriff's vehicles and process. The sheriff, you missed it. The sheriff did not want, he wanted to sit at the table. He did not want to sit along the side. Traditionally, this is my third term here. This is kind of the, these last 2 years of the first term where certain chairs had just commingled people sitting everywhere. I'm a traditionalist. I politely asked. The sheriff yelled, said he wasn't going to play any of my stupid games, pointed a couple of times, and took all his people and left.
I saw everyone leaving. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So, so we don't have any sheriff's department representation here, but we kind of know where they're at. They have provided us with very little, and that's one of the frustrating parts of this has been the information that we originally requested. Specifically about take-home vehicles, we received rather quickly from the executive side a spreadsheet of accurate take-home vehicle information that included down to the exact number of off-hour call-outs, the vehicle, the make and model, and what title and person had that take-home vehicle. We have yet to receive that. I think we've now got a pretty similar set of numbers from Everett.
It's okay. It's a very common thing.
Oh my God, it's a mental block with me. So we have not gotten anything from the sheriff's department like that, which is concerning because that means it's not being tracked, which is what this committee is all about, coming up with a policy and making sure there's transparency. John Guevara says it a lot, I say it a lot, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. And we, as legislators, have approved funding for very expensive software that the sheriff has and the executive has, and GPS software, and apparently it's not, you know, it's brand new, and the executive side, who I just had another meeting with, is really diving into Samsara, the software they're using, and even trying to bring other aspects to, you know, trying to connect time cards with GPS, with logs of what the individual workers are doing on a daily basis, and they're trying to bring that all together into one, which is very nice to hear, because I think that's what the private sector is doing, and it's what good governments are doing, so it's what we're going to be doing going forward in the executive branch of government. So in the sheriff's branch of government, we have a lot of take-home vehicles, more than Dutchess County has. this committee was never going to deal much with the regular road patrol or unmarked, covert vehicles that are investigative vehicles. They were pretty much exempted from the beginning. What we were going to talk about here is how they're going to provide oversight to GPS, make sure take-home vehicles aren't being abused, who has take-home vehicles in the Sheriff's Department, whether they're going to be marked. If anyone is taking home a vehicle and they live out of county, past practice or past policy had said that they needed to leave those vehicles in the closest substation to where they exit the county. That stopped happening several years ago. I think that is a requirement we already talked about and voted on to have back in the policy. But as far as today, what I had talked to the undersheriff about the other day was oversight. He brought up an idea that he was going to run past the sheriff about maybe talking to the DA's office and having the DA's office may be there to have a relationship where if there is a complaint or something, that the DA's office might be able to take a look at the GPS and vice versa. The Sheriff's Department could provide some oversight and a way to check because there is sensitive, I'd be worried too if I was the sheriff as far as having my GPS, having people look at my GPS, because in there is a lot of vehicles that I think we should be very protective of as far as where they're going and who's driving them. So there's a concern I understand about giving anyone, but at the same time, we have that I've discussed with the undersheriff and their fleet manager about where I've had complaints. I've been sent pictures. Just the other day there was a sheriff take-home vehicle after hours, driving around with his kids in the car. So these abuses are happening, and how do we do something about providing real oversight in the Sheriff's Department? Is there a way, or do we just completely exempt them from our policy, even though they have a huge fleet? Once again, some of this comes back to they still have not provided us with their take-home vehicles and how many times they're being called off hours. So it's been difficult to do the same kind of work we've done with DPW and 911 because we're getting data that we're requesting there, and we have it from the Sheriff's Department. So
so in theory we have all the data, it's just not organized well.
No, it's also not specific to, they don't even tell us who, a lot of these aren't even take-home vehicles, this huge list. We don't even know what the take-home vehicles are, and they also don't tell us what's a call-out, yeah, and what's not. So they have not given us the basic number, which we really wanted, which all of these take-home policies in every municipality across the country is based upon justifying a take-home vehicle, and the number one thing you justify a take-home vehicle is after-hour usage. And other things come into play, certain amounts of, if there's equipment that you keep in the truck, if there's weapons that you keep in the truck. So there's other times where you may not be called out all that often off hours, but when you are, time is of the essence. And so it's justifiable to have a take-home vehicle, even though the call-outs aren't there. But that's, once again, a request was made again at the end of last meeting to send us a list of vehicles that are take-home vehicles that are operated by somebody that may not have a lot of call-outs, but because of some other fact, they'd like them exempted from the call-out minimum. And that one example of that would be, we talked with DPW about exempting a couple of their mechanics, because they have a massive amount of the tools that they own themselves, like you hear, and most mechanics own their own tools, expensive equipment, lots of equipment, they keep it in the truck, so rather than be on a daily basis or a weekly basis pulling that out, that's something that we're considering an exemption. Obviously, if there's somebody on the SWAT team and they've got vests and guns and equipment or a dog, obviously those would be reasons to exempt. Did the Sheriff's Department email us a list of requested exemptions as requested?
No. The only thing that was discussed was a few meetings back, the special team, special,
yep,
like dive team, those types of things.
All right. So I have a feeling that the sheriff may have been ready to reject any bit of oversight anyways, and maybe that was a bit of the emotion we heard from him there, and the quick exit. I don't know if we were being met halfway on any of this. So there's a couple of, you know, if you want to say that even the undersheriff himself or the captain of the road patrol, even though they have mostly administrative jobs, do they know about a wanted criminal that's a dangerous guy or gal, and they're in their take-home vehicle on their way to work or on their way home, and they see somebody that they want to trail? I mean, I'm trying to come up with a situation, and if they have a marking on the vehicle or something, it would hinder them following the person. So as far as them marking their take-home vehicles like everyone else is going to do, maybe they didn't want to do that. Trying to come up with the scenario that they would give us there for some reason not to mark their take-home vehicles, of just their regular, you know, administrative positions that have vehicles, like the captain of the road patrol, the undersheriff, the sheriff himself.
So does that go back to job title then?
Yeah, but we haven't heard any of this. I'm just trying to come up with what we would hear. And then the last thing would be, there is a couple of COs, and it's been explained to me that that's a fringe benefit of becoming a captain in the jail, that you get a take-home vehicle. I do think there's probably two or three vehicles in the jail. 99.9% of the work is at the jail. There's really no, this is not an investigator of any sort. There's really no need for the captains at the jail. I've talked to people at the jail. They all agree. The rank and file agrees. I believe the union may even agree that those positions, and that was something that I think would, had we got those call out numbers, I think at the very least we should probably consider having those COs, the captains at the jail that have take home vehicles, should probably be looked a lot like a couple of these individuals over at DPW that are just not reaching the standard that we're setting. With all that, I would not have talked as much if we had the Sheriff's Department here, but I was trying to put out what I think we would hear and be considering. What do you think? Kevin, Herb, Chris, Eric, Laura, Aaron.
You know, you could speculate all you want, different scenarios, who needs a vehicle in the Sheriff's Department. Unless we hear from the Sheriff's Department, it's just speculation. You know, we don't know any reason why. You know, I think at this point, Joe, that we may want to just move forward with what we have and maybe put a resolution in to do the Sheriff's Department by themselves. And there's got to be some repercussion if they don't cooperate. Like, okay, you don't want to cooperate, we're not going to approve any more new vehicles for you.
I think we, because it seems like they attempted to get us some information with this, but it's very confusing, we should request better columns and request what we want in each column, similar to what the executive gave
That'll
us.
Be the third or fourth request to them of this.
Yeah.
Even an email. Mm-hmm. It's been requested at every meeting. We close every meeting out. I've talked to them on the side, both the fleet manager and the undersheriff, about clarifying what they're giving us, because this is nothing. It
right.
can't be used. It's just numbers and letters. And each time, for the most part, actually what I hear a lot from the fleet manager and the undersheriff is, I'm not allowed to give you anything unless the sheriff approves it, so I'll ask him once again. We can give you that, but I can't do it without approval from the sheriff.
And they have their own fleet manager?
Uh-huh. They have somebody they call a fleet manager, and that was something else that I had mentioned in a meeting, that they do have a huge, regardless of what we do with this policy, they have a huge fleet.
Mm.
I don't think it's crazy for them to have a fleet manager. It shouldn't be a CO that they just call fleet manager that they don't have working in the jail all day. They just have him doing other things, one of which is being the fleet manager. Perhaps we should change his title. that all of a sudden the next meeting three people showed up and then he wasn't the fleet manager anymore. They all do the fleet thing. So they don't want to be told anything by the legislature, you know.
Do they have their own mechanics or they use
No. They bring their vehicles over to the yard, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. I was just going to say, I think that we're dealing with issues of time as well, and I think that it would behoove us to get our report out sooner rather than later. And I think that since we are encountering opposition from the sheriff's office, and unfortunately, I think some of that has to deal with personality issues, which is unfortunate, but things being what they are, I think that perhaps we should go ahead and compile the rest of the data and make our recommendations and, for the time being, leave the sheriff's office out of it, and then perhaps that issue can be addressed at a later time.
There is existing language that we're transferring over, but a lot of it is more or less an exemption. Natalie, did you see anything in there that you noted that was...
So there's a lot for the sheriff. There's a whole section. I think some of the things we could make decisions on today...
Let's go through it.
And so it's clear what you guys recommend in this group will go to the ledge next year, and it will go through the normal committee process. So there will be other times for it to be touched upon.
You're on page 15?
I'm on page 14, starts the sheriff's office. And in here it talks about an updated list shall be transmitted to fleet once every 6 months. Do we want to make it 1 year the way we did the other
portions?
Yes,
I think everyone is in agreement on that. Herb, most of the language that needed to be cleaned up, Herb went and mm-hmm. notated and cleaned up, and that was one that Natalie had found that was still 6 months, but we want to line it.
I'm sorry, can you repeat, Natalie, what you said? We
missed. So page 14 starts the sheriff's office. And we did go through and change everything else to 1 year, so we can do that with the sheriff section too. And then in here it also talks about fleet administration, which we've also changed to the fleet manager throughout the policy, but I think there is the question about whether it should be the sheriff's office fleet manager or the executive fleet manager. What should that change to? So right here.
See, I have like four different, so I'm on different pages.
Here.
7310?
Yeah. Okay,
forward all approved take-home vehicle alteration from fleet administration.
So I think that is a conversation that you guys could make progress on.
What are commissioned employees?
I do not know.
Are those appointed and not civil service? Do you know what commissioned employees are?
Non-commissioned.
What does anyone know what a non-commissioned employee would be?
And what a commissioned is.
Jamie, you know.
I think that has to do with the sergeant, lieutenant. I think that's what they mean by commissioned in the sheriff's office. It's like a non-commissioned would be a civilian office, like a civilian over there, like a peace officer is non-commissioned. I think that. I will research that further.
Makes sense.
Because he has a mixture of civilian.
He says they're exempt from the county code requirements.
Kim, do you when somebody gets a take-home vehicle inside the executive, whether it's a branch of government, let's just say DPW, the request goes to you.
The request goes first to whoever the department head is. It depends. If it's DPW, it goes from the person to his supervisor and then to usually the commissioner signs off on it.
Does it work the same out of the DA's office, out of the sheriff's office? They all ultimately request of you, though, right? Because the DA office requested.
DAs, they don't fill out that form, right? FCAC fills out that form. That's a part of DSS. They fill out the form.
Okay.
But really, I only get it from DPW. And the FCAC.
So you have no authority to deny any take-home vehicle request?
They usually approve by the time I get them.
Okay. So I would just leave this. Unless somebody else wants to reword 7310 in some way.
I'll strike the policy request form because I think those are outdated.
Yeah.
And change fleet administration to fleet manager throughout.
Okay. Was there any other parts that you notated as specific to the sheriffs?
Well, they talk about the vehicle mileage / call out log forms. Mm-hmm. I don't know if those are outdated, if it even, it's, I know they're on a different system.
If I,
yeah.
So that's another one. In discussions with IAS, they're looking how to produce a new form because that's something that we, if you were to attempt to do it, it's still within AS 400, which is like, it's kind of like a command line looking application. So we're looking at how to do that. Also, the fact that we have Sam Sarah on now, they should be able to use that like as a read-only access to verify the miles because it's already being tracked in another software platform. The reason why you did those logs is because there wasn't tracking. So we have to operationalize using SAMSARA and also using it for this information.
So any annual report that we're now requesting be done.
Mm-hmm.
Kim will be doing, the fleet manager will be doing,
mm-hmm.
but we may not be getting it from anybody.
We get an annual report from the sheriff as well, so we could add it into his report.
Yeah, and the report doesn't, what does everyone think about that? Those annual reports, anybody, so any office, so if the fleet manager of the county only oversees 70% of the vehicles, and then you have the small amount of vehicles in the DA's office and then a large amount of vehicles in the sheriff's office, should we specify in the policy that these reports come from each office that has vehicles? Because otherwise we're only getting, do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I wanted to look at our, what we added.
Because a lot of the things in here with regards to the Sheriff's Department is not very teethy. I don't even think they'd have a big problem with most of it.
Do you want to just add the same language that you guys did here where it says by January 31st of each year, the fleet manager, and then it can be, you know, the Sheriff's Office shall make available. They just copy the language for the report.
I'm okay with that, but go ahead, Herb, and then.
I think it all should go to the fleet manager.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're dealing with one person, not different departments.
Oh,
and as far as the form portion of it, why don't we just take out the form numbers and just add in there the current form so that we don't have to change this policy every time SAMSARA or something comes up with a new form. And then I don't think we need to change much at all because everything will go through the fleet manager, the department head or the sheriff or whoever is going to sign off. That still needs to go to the fleet manager. We replace vehicles usually based by mileage or whatever, and that should be the responsibility of the fleet manager to monitor all of that. Which I believe you do now, whether it's a sheriff's car, whether whoever it is. So when we start compartmentalizing different divisions or whatever, thing's going to start getting lost.
I agree.
Want to deal with one person.
Does everybody agree with that? Yeah.
Go ahead. Actually, my question, Herb, legislative, it's pretty much answered what I was going to ask. So I agree.
I knew you were going to ask it.
So I think it going to one person makes
sense. Also, Jamie, you were right about the non-commissioned.
Yeah, non-commissioned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Civilian
The civilian and commissioned is criminal.
The commissioned officer is the sheriff. Is someone who, it refers to a deputy sheriff who's been officially appointed and authorized by the state to enforce laws.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the non-commissioned is appointed by that commissioned officer.
What about...
it's like the military.
Right, exactly.
So they're going to have to redact certain information with regards to certain parts of the fleet unless we completely exempt the tracking of certain parts of the fleet. I mean, you have undercover officers, so I think we require it all and just redact, or we exempt certain vehicles from even being tracked. Herb, what do you think about that?
I think anything that is supposed to remain confidential should probably remain confidential. I mean, if somebody can go and open up a log and know that the police department keeps going to this house they have on surveillance, I don't think that's going to help anybody.
That could be redacted.
Yeah.
I mean, almost anything but the existence of a vehicle and certain mileage and number of call-outs or something doesn't... So, redact a lot, but should we still know that the car exists in some way?
Of course. The fleet manager needs to know it exists. The fleet
yeah.
manager needs to know how many miles is on.
They still get... Yeah, they still get oil changes. So, do we put in there... How is the wording now of these reports? Aaron, what's up?
No, I was just going to say, like, I would think that we would want to make sure, like VIN, plate number, all these things are not probably searchable
mm-hmm.
because that would be something that could be jeopardized. You know, it's other than probably make, model, and
miles.
Yeah.
Do you have something?
You also have a county ID number on it.
Yeah.
Besides, that
and they,
stays with that vehicle until
yeah.
it's gone.
But you see some of this information
mm-hmm.
anyways,
right.
a certain level of it. So.
This is our section. Do you want to read it?
Yeah. So by January 31st of each year, the fleet manager shall make available to the county executive, county comptroller, and Quaker legislature and the public an updated list of take-home vehicle assignments by department, division, employee name, position, title, and the basis for which authorization was granted for the previous calendar year. Yeah, I think that can be done without, and if there is something that comes up, we can amend. I don't necessarily think we need to add language about, should we mention that in the case of, you know, the need to redact is in the case of whatever the language would be. Yeah.
I think one of the first documents that we provided was a list of taking vehicles by department, not the one with, like, the number of call-outs. But on that list, we did redact vehicles through the sheriff's department that were used in investigations.
Mm-hmm.
We also only gave a count for the vehicles that are used by urgent rather than individual vehicles, not providing the make and model, because those are
yep.
Used for a different purpose. So we did provide that by department with number. I think that was in the overall inventory, actually.
Okay. Do we think that, yeah, I don't think we need, does the not adding of any language here hinder their ability to be able to follow the policy and redact?
I don't think so.
Does anybody else see any other sheriff's language that's not really...
The only thing I see is 733, where... Commissioned employees are exempt from the county code requirements relating to fleet approval of take-home vehicles. Are
yeah,
you okay
who mentioned
with
that a while ago? Yeah, so that would mean so that would be the sheriff, the undersheriff, Who would commissioned employees be? What titles would that be?
I asked our personnel who would be technically commissioned. I believe it would be sheriff, undersheriff, probably corrections, superintendent of corrections, and I'm not 100% sure exactly how many people.
So we just...
Looks like historically they were supposed to provide a list of who is a commissioned vehicle. I thought I read that in 7.3.1.
So that gives them the ability to use a take-home vehicle any which way they want?
I believe it's the approval of the take-home vehicle.
Okay.
Not, they would still be restricted in its use for only business, but I believe it's the approval process.
But for commissioned employees, we're looking at 3 or 4.
I'll get the exact number. I'm not exactly sure how many fall under that commissioned.
But it's not all of the deputies.
I wouldn't believe so. Because in the past, under 7.3.5, we have seen those requests for non-commissioned. Those would be your civilian employees. I recall seeing those. And in the past, we have had take-home requests for deputies come through. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that it's a certain subset of the sheriff's department, but I don't know the exact number.
So if they want a Corvette, they get a Corvette?
No, I believe it's just the approval of the take-home vehicle. The assignment of the vehicle would be through the approval process of the capital, the type of vehicle. That's all outlined when we do the resolution and through the capital improvement plan.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out why they...
I think it's just saying that the county exec's office is not signing on the approval of that take-home vehicle.
But we can for the DA.
Yeah, I don't think there's a specific carve-out for the DA.
The DA's office had mentioned that they're short on vehicles too for special investigations.
I've heard.
Because of signing off by the exec.
I don't know.
They want electric vehicles.
We'll get to that. We'll get to the DA in a minute because I think we're almost done with the sheriff. Anyone else have anything on the sheriff's office, or are we going to. I honestly thought it was going to be tough to get to an agreement tonight on any kind of GPS oversight. I thought we were going to have to more or less live with them self-policing.
Self-policing, yeah.
At this point, especially if we're not going to get cooperation.
Well, shouldn't that be the responsibility of their fleet coordinator? To make sure that the vehicles are...
But they're not tracking anything. They can't even tell us how many call-outs they've had. They have no idea. They're obviously not watching how people... They're not comparing people's timesheets to their GPS because we wouldn't have the pictures and the videos I'm getting of people driving around after hours in their car with their kids in their car. So, so I...
This is what we've added before about the...
Oh, yes.
County.
The substation vehicles must be left. That's something... Look, really, the only thing I thought that we really could have gotten to with the Sheriff's Department is an agreement on a couple of these vehicles on the jail side. And when our recommendation, when this is done, it's basically those two or three vehicles may end up being taken away. So, I'm just not sure we have the wording of our policy in particular because we didn't get the numbers, so it's kind of hard to justify the same way we're going to justify perhaps certain trucks over at TPW because we have the numbers to back up that makes it a thing. What's your thoughts now?
Didn't you want to talk about uniform markings for the sheriff too?
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to get anywhere there as well. We're in agreement that all take-home vehicles outside of the Sheriff's Department and perhaps the DA's office are going to be marked. We've gone over, we have a certain size and an emblem. I thought that even if it's a badge, a large badge or something, I thought it would be appropriate for take-home vehicles of administrators in the Sheriff's side, would be marked vehicles. But I think there was going to be some pushback. That's what I mentioned before. We would probably get a hypothetical where Juan's on his way home, sees somebody, wants to follow him, and, you know, he's not going to be as covert if he's got a big badge on the side of his car, and somebody may get alerted they're being followed, and it may be a, you know, or it could be the road, the head of the road, Vinny Altieri might be on his way home, see somebody that he needs to follow. I think it's unlikely that these things happen or have happened recently, whether it's Paul or Juan. I don't think they're following people around, but they could come up with that scenario. I'm not sure how we would have reacted to it, but at the end of the day, I think that I'm not sure the juice is worth the squeeze on marking the sheriff's take-home vehicles.
If the vehicle's not marked, are you as a civilian required to pull over? I mean, I wouldn't
I'm not
be
even
comfortable pulling over. I had.
I think there's
I actually
laws around whether
happen.
You have to pull over.
There's
right
a marked
away,
car behind me that was tailing me. You know, I maintained my speed. And then when I made my turn, the lights came on and they were responding to a three-car accident on 213. But, I mean, it wasn't marked at all.
I don't know.
Somebody just puts
lights
on.
I don't even know how many unmarked
pullover.
Cars are out in patrol on a daily basis, or was that a fluke? Aaron, what do you got?
In regards to Laura, I think I remember hearing a few months ago that there is a requirement that they be marked in some way, but a lot of times they're... There, the markings are of the same color of the vehicle,
subdued.
And
yeah,
so it's something that you would have to be right up next to it to be able to see. So it's a bit of a loophole in terms of the I believe in a straight unmarked vehicle, I believe is not able to be doing pull you over a road stop. But yeah, so it needs to have some type of. Even a covert marking, but you know, it has to have something, I believe.
All right, leave it up to a vote. Yes or up or down? Do we want to put into this policy that the sheriff take home vehicles are marked?
I think yes for administrative vehicles.
Sheriff administrative vehicles.
That's
Herb?
A good point. Yeah.
I mean, the scenario I see is that a road patrol or something goes down and the only vehicle you have is one that's unmarked. I don't know.
Eric?
I also have an issue if, you know, if a car is being used for surveillance. I mean, I don't think...
Specific surveillance, they've all been exempted.
That specific surveillance has been exempted?
Yes. All investigative vehicles, all undercover, all unmarked, are all exempted.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is basically the commissioner's vehicles and perhaps the take-home if they weren't removed over as the COs. The captains of the CO. It's between, it's probably five to seven vehicles of the administered people at the top of the sheriff's department.
And do we have any sort of feedback from the sheriff's office as to how they feel about this particular matter?
I'm pretty sure they want to be exempted from everything and want nothing to change.
It would be interesting to hear from them as to reasons why they would not want them marked. Otherwise, I think they should be marked, unless there's some compelling reason for them not to be marked.
Let's send a very basic email to the sheriff and the undersheriff for an opinion on this, and we can vote up or down on this in our last meeting, which is coming up next.
I think that's...
And we'll also ask about, in that same, the only other question we'll ask is for specific call-outs, numbers for the CO, the captains of the jail that have take-home vehicles. There's one or two of those, and we could vote up or down on those vehicles, and that'll be that. That was really all I thought would come out of the sheriff's discussion anyways.
Well, you're asking, why don't you also ask him for a list of the commissioned employees?
Yes. Aaron.
Yeah, and just, I don't know if it was the the will of the committee to have, if we were going to be going with looking to be marking these specific sheriff vehicles, what if it would be a similar marking to what we agreed upon for, you know, for the other vehicles, or if it would be something that would have to be.
You know what, we'll give them, if we end up wanting to do it, we'll give them a diameter and they can let them choose. I'm sure it would be some kind of...
Round seal.
Yes. Badge look of some sort. And the numbers that Everett gave us, you just handed to me. So I have some. So that's really it on the sheriff. We'll finish that on the next one. Let's quickly, before the end of the meeting. I got to have it somewhere. But yes, Everett gave us. Am I saying it right?
You got it.
There you go. It's really.
You aren't the only one.
I can't be. But you gave us some specific numbers today that I already lost that Natalie gave me. And did everybody else have a copy of those? Oh, here it is right here. On responses. So, and you guys will all have them in a second. We have 1, 2, 3, and this is the extent of your take home. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 take home.
Correct.
And these are off hour call outs?
These are off hour call outs, correct.
So when everybody gets the list, I have found mine.
Just as a clarification, and I don't know if you had seen my response to Natalie. Anyone outside of management, so outside the director, deputy director position, they are stipend positions. The fire investigators just been paid this year hourly pay, but they're on call 24/7, 365. There's no office hours per se.
So depending on how many emergencies there are,
correct.
They could be working 80 hours in a week or 10 hours in a week.
Correct. So battalion one, and it's all based off of battalions. The county's broken up into six battalions. So like battalion one is the northern portion. It's the town of Ulster, north into Saugerties and so on. And that's the amount of calls. It's actually a little bit low, but the amount of calls that they were dispatched to and they responded to in 365 days. Now, the management is based off of outside the Monday through Friday, 40-hour work week, 45-hour work week.
What, the battalion 1 through 6, what do they specifically do once they get to the scene of the accident or fire? Or?
So they respond to any emergency that would require coordination of additional resources. And they assist in the coordination. Really, they become an aid to the fire chief, for lack of a better terms. In the back of their vehicle, they have a small command post. Allows for interoperability, command boards. They have specialized equipment back there, and they really set a command post up for the fire chief to do a 6 to 24 hour operation before a mobile command vehicle would come in to operate out of.
Battalion 4, does that have City of Kingston, or what's...
No, Battalion 4 does a lot of mutual aid. It's to Plattekill. They do a lot of mutual aid to Orange County. City of Kingston is Battalion 2. So all the battalions are based off of a corridor theory, as well as amount of departments in that area. Battalion 2 has the City of Kingston. But Battalion 4, yes, is a little heavy because of Plattekill. They do a lot of mutual aid, and they call a lot of mutual aid
to leave and go to Orange County.
Not saying that at all. Not saying that at all.
I would.
I'm the Prince of Plattekill. Go ahead, Kevin.
Now I'm just curious about these numbers here. Are they 24 hours or all after hour calls?
These are after hour calls, but all our management is on call 24/7, 365.
Even the battalion, that's not just all their calls in general?
No, but the battalion, yes.
Because they're per, yeah.
Correct.
But the other above and below is after-hour calls.
Correct.
Is there a state or federal mandate that we have to have a presence at all these things? Isn't there something like that?
So there's...
Or we have to answer certain types of calls or have a county representative there?
Correct. So anything that brings in resources, we manage the county mutual aid plan, which is approved by the legislature. But the county mutual aid plan requires us to have a representative there to manage and coordinate the additional resources. If the incident gets large enough, such as the wildland fire that we just had up in Peekamoose, that implements the state mutual aid plan, and that would bring the state representation in, but we're also required to be there.
The battalion 1 through 6, do they get county insurance? And I mean, they get fringe, all the even though they're
they get a straight stipend of $6,000 a year,
and then whatever, and then by the hour.
No.
Oh, that's all they get.
So there's been some changes in, and just remember, this is, I'm not saying this is the way it should be, just because it's been this way forever, but we've been slowly making the changes to the department that need to be made, right? So the fire investigation unit received a $1,200 stipend a year to investigate about 100 fires, and each fire takes 5 to 10 hours to investigate. Five hours on scene and 5 hours to do the report. This year, we piloted a program. We just went to paid investigators. Going into 2025, they're all going to be paid part-time investigators. Mm-hmm. We have two vehicles for that unit. One's assigned, it says like a deputy chief there at the bottom, but it's really assigned to the southern tier of the county. The other one's going to be assigned to the northern tier of the county, and it's shared amongst the investigators. You know, back in 2007, but 2017 when I started, we only had one vehicle in the department, unfortunately. And we built out to based off of and articulating the need based off of, you know, what we've been responding to. We had battalion coordinators responding with red lights and sirens in their personal vehicle, which is a huge liability to the county.
How many people do you have? How many vehicles do you have that aren't take-home vehicles?
So currently we have one.
How many employees do you have that aren't listed here?
So we have a total of 60 employees total in the department.
So it's about 45 people that, and maybe they don't require a
they
vehicle
for
much.
They don't require it, yeah.
But they have one vehicle for, and a lot of them are dispatched, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, so we have two, so there's like battalion one, that position's not filled. We don't have a vehicle there yet. We have two vehicles on order. One's for the radio technician position that was created this year that we're looking to fill. That's going to have specialized equipment to get up on the tower climbing and all that kind of stuff, work on our radio systems.
Is that a take-home?
That's not going to be a take-home.
Okay. All right, so with these top... So basically, you know, the deputy director fire coordinator down... hits the mark for the justification for a take-home vehicle. So now, besides the director, why do those next four positions need to be take-home?
So the emergency manager that has specialized equipment in it, has radios equipment. Every vehicle we have here has radio equipment in it. And it has specialized equipment in it to respond to any emergency.
As it would if it was just part of the regular fleet and they went and picked it up. So I'm asking you, why do they need to take it? And maybe they do, but that's what we're... This is your chance to explain to us why these why everybody needs to be... It's definitely going to have equipment in it.
Yeah, they all have specialized equipment in it.
But why do we want them reporting straight from their home?
Because they're reporting to an incident.
Yep.
So for them to respond to the 911 center, to then respond to the incident, is delaying their response by a minimum of a half an hour, maybe longer depending on where they live.
And if they're providing life-saving intervention help... then I think that's a valid justification to talk about. So why don't we go down through each person? Because if they're just there to investigate or report or something, then them being there 5 or 10 minutes later or 20 minutes later may not be that big of a deal. So that's what that's what I'm asking you to explain.
What position would you like to start with?
So you kind of let's go bottom up. So you were just talking about emergency manager.
Correct. So again, that position is going to respond directly to the scene. En route there, they're already coordinating resources. So they're able to listen to what's going on based off of radio traffic. They have all that interoperability within the vehicle. They're coordinating, and they're going directly to the scene to limit the amount of time to go and pick up the vehicle. You know, while they're responding, this incident has already been going on for half an hour plus, and those resources need to be coordinated immediately to ensure that they're all responding in a timely fashion. The 911 coordinator.
Can I follow up on a question?
Yes.
So the emergency manager, what you just told us sounds very important, what he does. Mm-hmm. How come if it's so important, he only goes to 32 calls?
Because it goes to the size of the incident, right? So a lot of these incidents based off of size are going to be managed by the battalion coordinator, then by the fire coordinator, then by the emergency manager.
So he goes to big fires.
Well, he doesn't just go to the emergency manager. Manages more than natural disasters, mm-hmm. right? So, not your everyday structure fire would be managed by your battalion coordinator or your fire coordinator. When you get into larger types incidents where you're doing a search for someone out in the woods, a lost hiker, or someone with a broken leg. Yeah. You know, if we had a school bus accident that we have multiple people, multiple injuries.
Wildland fire.
Those are the types of incidents an emergency manager would go to. That's why those numbers are lower.
How about
and these are numbers after hours too?
Would it be crazy to have a radio installed into their regular vehicle and give them mileage on the occasions
you're
they
asking
need to go.
You're asking for, in my mind, it would be a liability because you're now what you're doing is you're asking them to respond in emergency capacity with possibly lights and sirens, and then if they were to get into an accident, who's liable for that? That's been a big topic of discussion. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I personally would not want you putting a radio in my vehicle. Drilling holes, running wires, and all that stuff. I mean, that's me personally. I wouldn't want to see that.
I understand. And I'm not saying that you're even wrong and that I don't agree and that I'm even going to push to get rid of that vehicle. But I will say that, you know, I think for many years in this country in general, we've become accustomed to money being very accessible for our government. So we start to make decisions all the time where in reality and in the history of this globe, you know, you got a good paying job, a couple of wires in your car, something you deal with to put food on your table. But here in this country, generation after generation of success, and we just, well, you know, we look for every reason. But I think at some point, we're going to have tough conversations that maybe involve wires in your car and you got a good job and you'd be okay with it. But that being said, I accept you're saying that 32 calls is significant. It may not be quite where we were wanting it to be, but taking into consideration what you're saying, though I will say it sounds like there's things have happened for this. Once this individual gets called, there's a lot of people there already and acting. But that doesn't mean that there's some level of this person's job wouldn't end up being pretty important in real time to, you know, and it's hard to say without becoming up with a specific scenario, which I'm sure you could, about this person making life-saving decisions while they're rushing to an accident. It's hard. That's why it's difficult to have the take-home vehicle conversation with first responders, even the sheriff's department. It's hard not to say, okay. So let's just quickly go through and then we'll be done here. We'll schedule the next meeting. We'll vote on the last couple of sheriff's decisions, and then we'll have the rest of the meeting will be about finalizing how we're gonna what we're gonna do with the DA and 911. So 911 coordinator,
The 911 coordinator is responding to the 911 center specifically, sometimes responding out into the field to assist with interoperability. So that's, you know, radio communications and so on.
How different is 911 coordinator and emergency manager? How are they different?
One's dealing with radio communications per se, specifically radio communications, ensuring that the systems are staying up and running and we're able to communicate. The emergency manager is specifically assisting with the coordination of specific resources at a larger scale.
So if the radios go down, the 911 coordinator would?
Would respond to the 911 center. Phone systems go down, respond to the 911 center. They could be responding to the scene to assist with the coordination of radio communications.
Especially when they're way up north, because there's, you know, poor service up that way.
Okay.
North. What
last but not least,
west.
Interoperability.
You have the EMS coordinator?
Oh, yes, EMS.
Yeah. So EMS coordinator is specifically responding to EMS incidents. They also have responded to EMS calls where there's a lack of EMTs. Then interoperability, that's specifically really responding to the tower sites, when tower sites have gone down.
And that's the part-timer who does that?
Yes, okay. It's a part-time position.
So this is a part-time position that's only been called out 6 times in a year, and it's when a tower goes down and they're going to go work on that tower. They can't go and pick up a vehicle?
Could they? They could. Everyone could go pick up the vehicle. But, I mean, I don't think that it's the time that tower's down. When we don't have a tower, we lose complete communication. Mm-hmm. We're completely done. You know, so, again, we have 6 towers throughout the county. We're going to 16 towers throughout our county. If a tower site goes down, we need to respond to the tower site and be able to get it up and running right away, because we've lost total communication in that area.
And sometimes they're gated as well, so it's opening access points to get crews through.
He or she probably has to go to the site first and mm-hmm. take a look before even calling a crew, because you don't know what the problem mm-hmm. is. All right. Well, next meeting and last meeting, we think.
Minutes. Let's do these.
The minutes.
Okay. Oh. Motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
You had the final closeout meeting in theory as December 16th at 2 p.m. Can anybody make it?
Does it have to be at 2 p.m.?
I'll say no. What is later that day?
Legislator lets you have the EDA. You have that day. You
see? I have EDA.
Yeah, I was trying to go before.
That's
that.
At 4:30.
Yeah, I was trying to go before that as opposed to after it.
And there's a trails committee at 6 this time.
What time do you have the
that
EDA?
4:30.
4:30. So can't we go a little later so it's closer? Could you make 3? 3:15. 3:30.
The meeting's only going to take probably half an hour, 40 minutes.
Let's do 3:30. That gives us an hour.
Okay.
And I think we're just about there.
I was thinking after.
Oh, you're going. Oh, you're saying the EDA is only going to be. Oh, okay. I thought you were saying our meeting.
Half an hour.
Okay, and that's at 4:30?
Yeah.
So you want to do
that? I don't know that.
Oh. You guys are. That day's not a great day.
After later isn't great, but
It's more about, we're more or less there with you guys. It's more about just finishing up the DA. They don't have too many vehicles over there, and then finalizing a couple of things once we get hopefully a couple of answers from the Sheriff's Department. The policy's just about done. Early would have been better.
I can. You want to make it 3:30? We'll make it 3:30. If I'm a little late, say lovey. Yeah.
All right. 3:30 it is. Can we schedule it for
12:16?
Chambers, where we have a little more room. I think all our meetings should, all our, any committee with more than 5 or 6 people showing up should be out there. And if only we would have done that this time.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have had the temper tantrum. All right.
Should have just left him there.
No, no, no. Come on, have some respect for the legislative branch of government. Adjournment?
Oh, that's your November.
Or motion?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.